And she's also embarrassed when we give her any praise, but she so deserves it, doesn't she? Anyway, let's pray for Sharon before she preaches to us. Father God, we thank you so much for Sharon. We thank you for who she is, who you've made her in you, and who she's becoming in you as well. Father God, we pray that you'll bless the words that she's been given by you to share with us. We pray that you'll just set them on fire through your Spirit. Pray for us as we listen. Help us to respond, not to just sit passively, but to actively listen to the word that you have through Sharon. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. There was a church house party in the Lake District. And they'd gone on a Sunday afternoon for their Sunday afternoon walk. But being the Lake District, a bit steeper, a bit riskier. And they'd set off, everybody laughing, joking. As it got steeper, there was less talking, less laughing, less joking. And they got to a bit where the leader said, now be careful here because there's a bit of a drop. So we'll all have to go slower. And there is a railing, which is unusual, a bit of a barrier, to stop people because it is a particularly dangerous spot. And kids had been there, rushing around like mad. And they had to go slower too. But one child thought, I really want to get to the front. And he ducked under the railing and started to run on the other side to get to the front. And he was getting towards the front of the big, big queue of people when suddenly he tripped. And he went tumbling towards the edge of the ledge and was about to drop over. And the rest of the house party was completely frozen. You know how it is? You think, oh no, he's going to fall, he's going to fall. Completely frozen to the spot, apart from one man. He was the one ducked underneath the railing, rushed underneath and just managed to grab him before he fell over. Who was that one person? The one person who could move, the one person who had to do something about it. It was, of course, his dad. It was his dad. His dad had the love enough for that child to move. The dad had the resources to be able to get there in time, and the dad, of course, was willing to do it. That child was saved, he was redeemed. And the joy in that house party was incredible. It had only lasted a short time, that horror minute. But the joy that exploded, sighs of relief as well, but joy. And that's what we're talking about today. If you remember, we had the tears 4 weeks ago, the sad, sad story of Naomi arriving back in Bethlehem with nothing. No way of raising money. Her and Ruth would probably have become poor beggars and easily taken advantage of. And we talked about the suffering of God, when he's a God of suffering of us, when there's a God of love around there. And then we talked about the wings of refuge, and we had a really great picture of the eagle's wings, under whom we can find shelter, protection, and refuge. Then last week, Kinsman Redeemer, Matt showed us brilliantly how prayer, planning, and practice help us to fulfill the purposes of God. And today we have the wonderful emotive final chapter of Ruth, the redemption and the joy. So Matt left us on a knife edge when we realized there was another fly in the ointment, a different kinsman who might get to marry Ruth instead of the gorgeous Boaz. Anyway, if you look at verses 1-6, Boaz goes to the gate and he has a subtle plan. He doesn't find the kinsman, get his 10 elders round him, and then say, oh, do you want to marry Ruth? No. He mentions land. Well, we've not heard of the land before. Where's this land come from? Well, we don't know. But it obviously used to belong to Elimelech at some stage, and Naomi now owns it. And he can buy this land. And at first, as you saw in the film, he goes for it. Oh, yeah, I'll have that. That'd be nice. And then Boaz plays his master stroke and says, actually, you have the land, you have to have Ruth. Ruth will have babies, and that will interfere with the inheritance of your own children. So, he backs out and says, okay, you can have her. You can have her. So Boaz, absolutely overjoyed, he publicly accepts the offer. And then in verse 7, we have the sandal bit. Now, a sandal handed over to confirm the deal is apparently not used in court anymore. according to my husband. Surprise, surprise. But that was what they did. And the duty of the Redeemer doesn't always mean marriage. But Boaz was a bachelor, childless. He could have been a widower, older man, a man of wealth and influence. So he takes Ruth on. I mean, I personally think he fancied her something rotten. But anyway, he does what he's supposed to do. And he goes a step further on and marries Ruth. So, redemption is complete in their situation. Well, not quite complete. We'll come to that in a minute. Is there any way to stop me booming? Not because I don't like having a booming voice, but I'm a bit. Yeah. So, do we need redemption? Do we need a KR, a kinsman redeemer? We live in a massively fallen world, don't we? Eastern Gouta's rubbish. There's mass killings in school. The reason for the Me Too campaign. Rape, murder, religious persecution. And that's just in the world outside. We've got our own personal crises, haven't we, too? Health, finances, relationship breakdown. We need rescuing so many times. We're needy. In our world here in Coombe Down, it's a world of plenty. And yet somehow we can feel empty sometimes, trapped in stuff that's not right. We live in fear, anxiety. Gavin had that word this morning. Anxiety. We're living in an anxious state. We become anxious ourselves about things we're not supposed to be necessarily anxious about. We have a fear of not saying or doing the right things. We have a fear of illness, a fear of the future, a fear of not getting married, a fear of marrying the wrong person, a fear of not doing well in our studies. We need protection. We need guidance. We need healing. We need love from above. But also our Creator, right at the beginning of time, made us for relationship with him. He wants time spent with him. He wants a constant chat. He wants us to receive his guidance and hear his reassurance. But our lives are in a mess, and so often it doesn't happen, does it? We try and cope on our own, but we can't. We need redemption. We need saving. We need a KR. So who is our KR? It's not a squirrel, but... I'll call you a bit slow there. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Does he fulfill the criteria? Yes, he does. He must be a blood relative. Boaz was part of Naomi's family. Jesus became part of our family. Philippians says he was made in human likeness and found in appearance as a man. Does he have the necessary resources to pay the price for redemption? Well, yep. Just as Boaz had enough dosh, then Jesus lived the perfect life of obedience which was required to pay the necessary price and become us the sacrifice for us. 1 Peter says, it cost God plenty to get you out of that dead and empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's blood. And finally, he must be willing to do it. The first kinsman in that didn't want to be the Redeemer. But Boaz did, and Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for our redemption. I am the good shepherd, he says, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So Jesus was part of our family, he possessed the means, and he was willing out of his love for us to become our KR. The act of redemption was completely different to Boaz's. The act of redemption for Jesus cost so, so much more. At a terrible, terrible death. He came out of heaven, first of all, and entered our painful world. And then he was illegitimate, almost illegitimate. It was always doubted by the villagers. He was given work to do that even his family would think was out of his mind if he tried to do it. Betrayed by his closest friends, false charges, prejudiced jury, cowardly judge, tortured. Tortured, and then killed. Killed alone, terribly alone. And why? Because the Father God loves us so much. He wants to have that relationship with you, which couldn't be there apart from Jesus. He wants to redeem you in every situation. He wants you to know joy. Joy. So let's go back to the story, verses 9 to 12. Okay, great big feeling of celebration. Everybody's pleased. So pleased that good old Boaz is marrying the lovely, faithful, hardworking Ruth. So there were blessings from the elders. If you look at those verses, they asked that Boaz's family should be like that of Rachel and Leah, who together produced more than enough boys for a football team, Israel Rovers. No, actually the foundation of the tribe of Israel. And then the joy is made complete with a baby. Ruth had been 10 years without a child with Elimelech's eldest son, but a baby boy is born to them, and blessings for Naomi, praise for the God she trusted, and the daughter-in-law she's got pour forth from the women. I too am blessed with a megastar of a daughter-in-law. Now, I don't often praise her by saying that she's as good as seven sons, but she's pretty special, as we all are. Women, of course, worth one for seven. And Naomi's joy is completely overflowing. It's such a great thing to be a grandma. I love it. And the joy's in there. And there's a completeness to the story. It's a kind of a circle. Naomi came back to Bethlehem completely empty. And she's now full. She was completely broken. And now she's full of joy. She's blessed. She's blessed with that baby. It's come round. It's come good because she's trusted. She's become full of joy. God has given Naomi hope and a joy and a future through Boaz and Ruth and baby Obed. Redemption brings joy. So, what is joy? Let's watch this clip. Ding. Huh? Joy, isn't it? Pure gurgling joy. And that laughter just makes us want to laugh. But I just want to point out that joy through redemption is not like happiness necessarily that makes you just laugh out loud. It's something which is based, it's not based on happenings or whether things are going well. I like to call it a deep-seated, completely entrenched, nothing can shake it, gut-filling joy. Deep within your soul. It's also a bit of a constant state of emotion where you're waiting for something to happen. You're anticipating and expecting something great and wonderful. We'll come on to that later. And it's also actually down in your heart. Do you know that? Who's old enough? I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Yeah. Well done. Yep, it's deep, deep down. I experienced it last week in church. There was a lot of sadness in church last week because we're experiencing a difficult time. And many people are having difficult, hard, hard times. And as we sang those songs that reminded us of the sovereignty of God, the faithfulness of God, the trust we can have in him, there was also that deep, guttural feeling of joy among the sadness. There were tears. There were plenty of them. But at the end, many of the people who'd needed that hug, many of the people who'd needed the tissues, were the ones standing at the end, praising the Lord. There were tears streaming down their faces and mine, but they were praising because they knew, we were reminded of that deep-seated joy when you know the Redeemer, what it brings. God with us right down here, giving you that joy. Because joy is the essence of God's character. Chronicles says that strength and joy fill his dwelling. Psalm 16 says there are eternal pleasures are found in God's presence. David's heart leapt with joy when he spent time in his presence. We spend time in worship. That brings me great joy. When you could sing those songs like we just sang, they bring such joy. Spending time in worship with God, spending time in prayer with God, chatting, spending time with him, praying, reading the scriptures. How much are you sharing with him at the moment? Obedience brings joy too. If we trust in him, even though it doesn't make sense, you know, he's asking you to do this, and well, that seems rubbish, I don't want to do that. It's not logical, Mr. Spock. But God promises real joy when we decide to obey him. Psalm 1 promises if we delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it and do as it says, we'll be filled with joy. I didn't want to move to Coombe Down. Not wanted to move to it at all, but God made it really clear we were supposed to be here. I cried. But we moved, and it has certainly brought our family great joy. Not that big laughter, not that laughter joy, but when I look back, those happenings that happened to us as a family just brought joy, this deep joy, and we knew it was right, and God's given it to us through obedience. How much you are obeying at the moment? How much are you putting it off? Trust brings joy. Again, it's not logical. But he promises that he will provide that joy when we trust him. You turn our mourning into joyful dancing. You've taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Those who plant in tears will reap with joy. Ruth's trust in God brought that joy. Now, part of our tears last week, I've been feeling really down lately. There are a number of those sad situations. And I've constantly been on the edge of tears, which isn't really like me. It's not even my sadnesses, it's everybody else's, so I don't have an excuse really. But during my quiet time on Monday, I was crying again. When it suddenly, almost like that, I realised I was letting my anxieties, my worries, my fears, for other people mainly, just get in the way of that joy. I wasn't letting it being released within me. That fear was blocking the joy that is there, but I was kind of holding it down because of fears. I read the story of Jairus' daughter being healed and the woman with the hemorrhage who touched Jesus' coat and became better immediately. I thought, what am I so worried about? Yes, I'm still sad. I am still sad. But that trust is there, and that trust brings joy, because I know whatever happens, that God who can do so much will do the right thing. It's such a contradiction, such a paradox, that we can be joyful and yet sad at the same time. The world finds it really hard to understand. I find it hard to understand, but it's possible through Jesus. Joy is the invaluable gift that radiates to others. Think of a joyful person you know. I think Steve Rogers is really joyful. Joe Robinson, Paula, who often sits down there. I'm sure you know people who have that gift of joy. They're not always laughing necessarily, they're not always telling jokes, but you know just deep down within them it's there. Our hearts ache, but we have joy, says Corinthians. We're poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. A joyful person cheers you up. A joyful person shows you that trust that they have in that God who will not fail us. He's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And joy brings blessings out of difficult circumstances. Often they're seen after the event, but they can be seen during it. Caroline is seeing God in her illness through being able to witness to hospital staff, through spending great times with her visitors. And Jackie Langham, one of our previous vicar's wives, described it by saying, Caroline is a joy to be with. Caroline is a joy. We're supposed to take her joy and make her cheer up and all the rest of it. But Caroline's saying that, Jackie's saying, Caroline is that joy. How amazing is that? In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trouble. And James 1 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. And when those trials are over, we have such a great testimony to our faithful joy releasing God. So how do we get this joy? Well, recognize that God came to redeem you first. If you've not done that before, think about it seriously today. It is so worth it. And then just think about yourself. Why is that joy not deep within you at the moment? What are you struggling with? You struggle with fear, busyness, not spending time in his presence. Do you need more of his Holy Spirit releasing that joy? Final bit of our passage. That genealogy bit at the end. Well, you know, the boring bit. You think, oh yeah, you just skip it. Well, if the story of Ruth and Naomi just ended in a little Judean village with an old grandmother hugging a new grandson, that's really lovely. But there's so much more to it than that. So much more to it than that. Ruth made good choices in her life, which had cosmic consequences. Things like sticking with your mother-in-law. That's a good thing to do. gleaning, working hard, just the right field, agreeing to sleep at the foot of an older man. I don't recommend it. Has, my husband's younger than me, has great consequences for the whole world. God was not plotting just for the temporary blessing of a few Jews in Bethlehem. He was preparing for the greatest king of all that would come. And that king was also pointed to something else. David's story pointed to Ruth. No, Ruth's story, nobody noticed. Ruth's story pointed to David. David's story pointed to Jesus. Jesus points us to our eternal redemption. So it's not just knowing joy now. There's going to be joy in heaven. Death will be no more. No more mourning, crying, pain. Everything will have passed away, all the bad things. Our kinsman redeemer has promised us redemption of our, a full redemption. So that's that anticipation that I talked about at the beginning, that anticipation of something yet to come. Jesus was sustained in his trials by the joy set before him. We are sustained in our trials through the joy within us and the joy set before us. We share in his sufferings at points in our lives. As we share in his sufferings, we can also share in his joy. Death will be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. Best is yet to come, and it's pretty good already. So, two questions. Do you know the kinsman redeemer who's redeemed you and saved you at great cost? Ask him today to become yours, your personal one. And second question, do you know his joy? That deep-seated, completely entrenched, nothing can shake it, joy within your soul, or is stuff, busyness, fear, lack of trust, disobedience, whatever, getting in the way. We all need more of that joy. Let's speak to the joy giver now. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, giver of joy. We thank you for your redeeming act on that cross for us. Thank you that you want to bring us joy, that you do bring us joy, that you will bring us joy that can be deep within our hearts. We ask now that you'll come by your Holy Spirit and bless each person here with that gift of joy afresh. I'd like to hold out your hands as if you're receiving a gift. Holy Spirit, we know you are the bringer of joy from the Father through the blood of the Son. And we ask now that you'll come in your presence, come in your power, and fill each one of us with that joy today. Sorry for that stuff that gets in the way, whether it's fear, anxiety, happiness. Oh Jesus, just wash it away by your Spirit. If you don't know that Redeemer, please come and chat to somebody afterwards. Come and make that step. Or just ask him now in your heart. Come and be my kinsman Redeemer. Jesus will receive you. Receive you as friend, as joy giver, joy bringer. Just let Jesus meet you in the presence of his Holy Spirit now. Come, Holy Spirit.